Morning. Are we good? Are we all on? Great. Okay, I'm going to pray. We're going to kick off. I think we're good, hopefully, time-wise. Lord, we love you. We love you. We start from that place this morning, Lord Jesus. Love for you, our Savior, our Lord, our Father. We love you. Lord Jesus, we pour out our praise, our thanks, our gratitude, Lord, that you have made us alive in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we were once, Lord Jesus, lost, but we have been found. We were blind, but now we see. Lord Jesus, but now here we stand, dead men walking, made alive in Christ. Praise your name. You have changed our lives, Lord Jesus, totally. Words don't even do that justice. Praise your name, Lord. There is a leaping in my heart, Lord Jesus, at what you have done. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would somehow communicate through me in such a way that there's a leap in every heart this morning, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Amen. Okay, we're going to start. My title today is Living a Worthy Life. I've been reading Paul's epistles recently, and I've been struck by the amount of times Paul uses this phrase, living a life worthy of. Living a life worthy of. We're going to pull out a few phrases, few of these verses. I've actually got them on the computer, but I don't know whether anyone's doing it, but I've got the verses on there, if it helps. It's on the song bit. On the laptop, under the title, Living a Worthy Life. So the first verse is in Ephesians 4. That's verse 1. I'm going to just four examples of this, and then we're going to focus later on one particular portion of scripture, okay? Paul says here, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. To live a life worthy of the calling you have received. In Philippians 1, verse 27, it says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 to 12, it says, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And then in Colossians 1, verses 9 to 10, it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, living lives worthy of the Lord. We are consistently called to live lives, to live worthy lives. Lives that are worthy of the gospel. Lives that are worthy of the calling we receive. Lives that are worthy of the Lord. Okay? And I want to explore how we are to live worthy lives. When you hear that, you can think, God, how do I live a life that's worthy of the Lord? It seems ridiculous. It seems too high a calling. But I want to tell you, I pray God will do this today. I want to inspire you that this is possible. Not only is it possible, you don't need to live a minute longer in any other way than this. Okay? So, I will not get to my conclusion too early. Okay, so, what is Paul encouraging here? What is Paul encouraging when he says, live lives worthy of the Lord? A life worthy of the Lord. If we think of it as like scales, okay? A life worthy of the Lord is a life lived in balance to the calling we've received. Okay? A worthy life is one whose daily living corresponds with its calling. Okay? So it's just like a person who's worthy of their pay at work. Okay? Whose day's work corresponds to his day's wages. You would consider him worthy of his wages if his day's work corresponds to his wages. Yeah, sorry. Said the same thing. So what is the calling that we've received? We talked about this. It's a worthy life is to live a life in balance to the calling that we receive. So what is the calling we receive? Now, I'm going to briefly talk about this because, and the reason I'm doing it briefly is because this is what I spent the whole of my last sermon talking about. Okay, so if you want more detail, you can listen to that, okay? But I'm going to give you the conclusion that we came to then, okay? And then we're going to go into more practical stuff, okay? So what is the calling we are received? And I'm just going to fire off verses. Don't turn because you'll be flicking before I even have finished. You'll be flicking and I'll finish before you do it. So we are children of God, which is from Romans 8:14. That's from various other scriptures as well. We are the body of Christ, from Romans 12:4-5. We are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. We are Christ's ambassadors, from 2 Corinthians 5:20. We exist to display and communicate Christ to others. This is the calling we have received. We exist to display and communicate Christ to others, to make him known. And in so doing, this was my title last time, we are the hope of the world. In so doing that, in fulfilling our purpose, in living according to the calling we've received, we are the hope of the world. Charles Spurgeon said this, and this I mentioned last time when I spoke. He said, "Is not this the reason why the saints of God are on earth at all? Why does he not send an express chariot to take them at once to heaven? There is no necessity for saints being on earth that I know of, except for the good of their fellow man. Why do we stay here then, at all? But that we may be salt in the midst of putrefaction." That means decay, in case you didn't know, like me. "Light in the midst of darkness. Life in the midst of death. The church is the world's hope. As Christ is the hope of the church, so the church is the hope of the world. The saints become, under Christ, the world's saviors. We are the hope of the world because we exist to communicate Christ to our fellow man. And one of the primary ways we do that is by the way we live." That's one of the primary ways we are to communicate Christ. So, what is the calling we've received? That's the calling we've received. So now I want to move on to how are we then to live worthy lives? Worthy lives that communicate Christ. Okay? And I'm going to pick out a couple of verses, and one in particular, really, and then I'm going to unpack that verse. And I'm going to use a bit in Colossians, and we're going to look at three things, and then we're going to conclude. Okay? So, how are we to live worthy lives? Lives that communicate Christ. Now, if we can go back to that verse, in fact, I think on the thing, it's just the next verse on the thing anyway, in Philippians 1:27, and it says here, and this is in the NLT version, it says, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven." Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. And then it goes on to say, "conducting yourselves," which is what we read out before, "in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ." Living as citizens of heaven. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, live as children of light." So how are we to live worthy lives? Lives that communicate Christ? By living as children of light. By living as citizens of heaven. By living as the new creations that Matt talked about just before. Those new creatures in Christ that have been made alive in him, that are crucified in him, and made, called to live in newness of life. Newness of life. How are we to live lives that communicate Christ? It's exactly that. And I want to unpack that. I want to say, what does that then, what does that look like, and how do we do that? And there's three things that I want to focus on. There's a lot I could say, but I'm going to try and put this all into these three categories. And I want to use a passage in Colossians to bring out these three things, okay? So if we can go to Colossians 1, and then we're just going to camp here now, okay? Colossians chapter 1, and we're not going to read the whole verse just because I want to read what's necessary for time's sake, okay? The whole chapter, sorry. We're going to read from verse 9, and we're going to read pretty much through to verse 29. But I'm going to miss out some bits, just for time's sake. Okay. "For this reason, Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then if we drop down to verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And then down to 24, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. This is Paul speaking. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Okay? So we're looking at how we live worthy lives, and we talked about living as citizens of heaven is how we do that. Living as citizens of heaven. So there's three things that I want to pull out about citizens of heaven. And I'm going to use this passage to pull those things out. Citizens of heaven are saints. First of all, get that. We're going to talk about that in a second. Citizens of heaven are spirit-filled. They are filled with the life of Christ. Citizens of heaven are servants. And we're going to look at that in a second. So there's three things. We are saints, spirit-filled, and we're servants. Okay, so let's look at citizens of heaven as saints. We are approved by the King. Citizens of heaven are approved by the King. We read that in verses 12 to 14. In verses 12 to 14 it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. And then it goes on into 22. It says, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Free from condemnation, we read in Romans 8, verse 1. We are approved by the King. Citizens of heaven are saints. We are to live from that position. We are to live as ones who are qualified, who are forgiven, who are rescued, who are redeemed, who stand without blemish, free from accusation and condemnation, holy and righteous in his sight. We need to live from that position. In fact, if we don't, we will never live a life worthy of the Lord. We need to live from that position. Okay? If you are qualified for something, it would be pretty silly and it would be a waste of your time if you were to live your life retaking the same test and attempting to re-qualify for something that you are already qualified for. You are already qualified in Christ, and it has nothing to do with you. It is all to do with Christ. We are qualified and approved because of Jesus, not because of our own works. We cannot add to what he has done. We cannot take away from what he has done by our behavior, because it has nothing to do with our behavior. It has nothing to do with us. It's to do with him. And we need to move from that position. The devil will seek to make us doubt this, and he'll subtly encourage us to try to add to what Jesus has done, primarily through religious behavior. And if we're led down that path, and I can tell you from experience, I have been there, okay? We will no longer communicate hope. We will communicate death, for the law brings death. The Spirit brings life. We're going to move on to that in a minute. The law brings death. We are to communicate Christ, not ourselves, okay? And in order to do that, we need to move from the position of being saints. We need to accept it. We need to recognize it first, and then we need to accept it. Okay? And then we need to move from that position. There is a hymn, I think it's a hymn, and it was, I don't know whether it was an older hymn, and then they've redone it. It was written by David Phelps. I don't know whether this is a version of something that was already an old hymn or not. I don't know. But the words of this communicate exactly what I want to say. It's called I Then Shall Live. And I want you to hear these words. I think we've got them on. I don't know whether I put them on here or not. Maybe not. No. Okay. So listen up then. I'm going to go slow. Okay. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am his child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love I gladly will obey. I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved that I'll risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges. I'll dare to see another's point of view. And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through. Your kingdom come around and through and in me. Your power and glory, let them shine through me. Your hallowed name, oh, may I bear with honor. And may your living kingdom in me. The bread of life, oh, may I share with honor, and may you feed a hungry world through me. When we recognize and accept and move from the position of being saints, those who are forgiven, redeemed, holy children of God, fear is replaced by boldness. Harshness is replaced by compassion. Selfishness is replaced by servant-heartedness. Apathy is replaced by commitment. Indifference is replaced by passionate love for God and for others. We do not need to be afraid of grace. We do not need to be thinking we can go too far with grace. We cannot, I hope you're hearing me here, go too far with grace. You cannot. You can only misrepresent it, but you cannot go too far with grace. You can misrepresent grace, and you can misrepresent it in such a way that people end up living legalistic lifestyles. That's one misrepresentation. And you can misrepresent it in such a way that people think, oh, let's do what I want. Either way is a misrepresentation, but you do not need to be afraid of going too far with grace. You cannot. Not if you're speaking about it in the way that the Bible does. We need to move from this position. It is vital. Okay? The only way you will live a worthy life, the only way you will produce fruit for God, is from this position. And bring glory to him. So, first point. Citizens of heaven are saints. Second point. Citizens of heaven spirit-filled. They are empowered by the King. Empowered by the King. It says in verse 9 here, it says, Paul in his prayer, he says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives. And then he goes on in verse 11, he says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have endurance and patience. And then at the end he says, of that portion that we read out, he said, to this end I contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. We are empowered by the King, and we are to live in dependence on his power, his energy, his strength. We are to move in the power of his might, not of our own. For the Spirit brings life. The law brings death. The Spirit brings life. If we are to communicate Christ, the only way we do that is through the Spirit. And the Spirit working powerfully in each and every one of us. That's the only way we do it. We do not communicate Christ in any other way. We are to be being filled. Where's the other verse? Okay, I was going to read out. We are to be being filled. Ephesians 5:18 talks about this. It says being filled with the Spirit. Not being drunk on wine, but rather being filled with the Spirit. We are to partake of Him. We are to eat and drink and receive and absorb and savor and satisfy ourselves in Him. Through worship, through prayer, through study, through fellowship. They're the main ways we do this. But we are to eat and drink and receive and absorb and savor and satisfy ourselves in Him. We are to move out of His strength and not out of our own. In fact, if we do that, we will not communicate Christ and we will not be living a worthy life. We will communicate ourselves. We are not meant to live without spiritual exhilaration. If we do, we will seek to be satisfied by other things. And we will either, we will either seek to be satisfied by other things or we will burn out. And either of those things, both of those things, communicate our life, which is an unworthy life. It does not communicate the life of Christ. And it will not be profitable. And it's not a worthwhile life. The only life which is a worthy life is the life of Christ. And our lives are worthy when they communicate to Him. And the only way we communicate Him is through the Spirit. When we are full of the Spirit, we are naturally supernatural. Instead of being burned out, we are burning. Okay? And then what you do is not this, I don't know, it's not done out of a sense of duty and, I feel like I have to do this. There's something of the life of God in you which compels you to serve. It compels you to serve. Can you imagine Paul? If you hear Paul, Paul didn't do those things because He was out of his own strength or because he felt a sense of duty to God. He did it because he couldn't do anything else. The life of God was so working so powerfully in him. He couldn't stay still and not move in what God had made him to be because it was burning in him. Have you ever known that? Because that's what God has for you. Nothing less. God has for you that. Seriously, he does. Not just on the odd occasion. Not these odd experiences that you may have. God wants you to walk and move and live consistently in that place of being satisfied in Him. Nothing less. So don't settle for anything less. And you can live in that place. You can only live in that place because of what Christ did and because of the fact that you are saints in Him. And you are able to move in that place because it's not about you, it's about Him. And it's through Him. Paul can't tell us these things. He can't say to you, live a worthy life if it's not possible. He can't say that. The scripture, the amount of scripture I could have put on here where Paul encourages the type of life that we should be, if it's not possible, if it's only on the odd occasion, we may as well stop reading it and we may as well just give up, because if it's not possible, what's the point? This is possible because of Jesus. And it's what his plan and his passion is for his church. Next, we're going to move on. Citizens of heaven are servants. Citizens of heaven are servants, okay? They are enlisted by the king. So we've heard that we're saints approved by the king. We are spirit-filled, empowered by the king. We are servants enlisted by the king. Verse 25, Paul says, I have become, and he's talking about the church in the preceding verse, he says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The result of a grace-centered, spirit-filled life is service. That's the result. Passionate, wholehearted service. Out of love for God and love for others. If you read in Paul, you hear it in these verses. It says, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. Hear this, because this is what it looks like. This is not Paul just being brave. This is real in Paul's life through the Spirit of God working powerfully in him that he can say these things. Okay, and he's not supposed to be someone who we put on a pedestal and say, yeah, Paul was great, but we're never ever going to get there, and we look up to it. This life of Paul that we read is a life that's meant to be for every single one of us in our own unique, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but in our own unique way that God has called you into. God desires that he will express his life through you in your own unique way. It is such a wonderful calling. You cannot get a higher calling in life than that. It is our privilege, and it's where we are most satisfied, and it's where God is most glorified. We read it here. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy. I've got to put complex about that word now. Contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. You hear in Paul, in those verses, passionate, wholehearted service out of love for God and love for others. Do you know love for others flows out of love for God? That's where it starts. And we love God because he first loved us. Again, I could get back to that, citizens of heaven. You need to know your love before you can love. You need to know you are loved. Matt talked about it last week, so listen to that because it follows on. You need to know that he is your father. And you need to know you can look him in the face and you can run up to him with abandonment and say, you love me. Like Matt talked about Harry doing to him. With a confidence and boldness in God that's right. And when we do that and we know we are loved, we love. We love God because he first loved us. And when we love God, the love of God works so much in us that we love others. We love others. It flows from that position, and it flows in that order. The result of a grace-centered, spirit-filled life is service. We are to manifest him in the unique way he has made us to. And Paul mentions that in that verse, those verses there, his own unique way. I've become a servant by the commission God gave me. To present to you the word of God in its fullness. He's the one I proclaim. I'm admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that I may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's the unique calling Paul had at that time. That was his. But in Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, and I didn't write it down, but it says, now to each one, the manifestation is given for the common good. There's different translations of, but that's basically it. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's for the benefit of all, that we might build one another up. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one in order that we would build one another up. And that's what Paul's mentioning here in verse 28. He says, he's the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's building up. That's what the life of God's to do. That's part of it. It builds up and then it pleases him. Paul mentioned here in verse 10, he says, you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of him. We please him. He mentioned the phrase, make him known and bear fruit. The result of a grace-centered, spirit-filled life is service, which builds up each one, which pleases God, which makes him known and bears fruit. That is what you are called for. And you have been given a unique gift from God. You've been given the manifestation of God, called by God to communicate him in the way, the specific way he's got for you. And as we do that together, imagine, have that thought in your head. Imagine, that's the vision of church. All together, those people. We had a vision when we first started this church of lights, individual lights scattered around the place, but then all coming together to one place, making this massive light, which would bring glory to God. That is a vision of church. That's what God has for you. Nothing less. A life worthy of the Lord. A worthy life is a grace-centered, spirit-filled life of passionate service. And when we live worthy lives, our lives will speak. They will look. They will smell. And they will taste of another life. The life of Christ. They will taste of another kingdom. They will look and they will speak and smell of another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And we will be different. We are meant to be different. We're not meant to be different just like you try to be different. Don't get me wrong with all that. Don't try and just be different for the sake of being different. But we are different in as much as light is different from darkness. We are meant to communicate something different. In Christ, we're meant to communicate the life of Christ. Light is different to darkness. In fact, it's the opposite. That's what his church is supposed to communicate. We're not supposed to be conforming to this world. We're supposed to be transformed by the life of the Spirit. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, when their church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. It is then that the world is made to listen to her message, though it may hate it at first. When the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. Because it's different. People don't have hope in the world as it is now. We're not supposed to look like the world is now. We're supposed to look like something that gives hope. Different. A better story. Johnny talked about a better story a while ago. That's what we're to communicate. A better story. And that is God's longing. It's his passion. And it's your purpose. It's what you're here for. This is what you are called to. It's what God has in mind for you. And he's made it possible. And you don't need to waste one more moment doing anything different. And you can live in this now. You can live in it now because he's made it possible. Because you are saints in him. Because of what he's done. He gave his life for this. He gave his life for this. And he did it that he might put his life in you. That you might communicate something in this world that communicates hope to people that have no hope. People have no hope. The church is here for that purpose. And you can do it. I'm not trying to use a famous advertising slogan there. But you can. You can do it because it's Christ. It's Christ in you. And I pray to God that you will see this. That you will see that this is your life. This is what you are here for. And it's beautiful. Take hold of this. Take hold of the life to which you are called. Tell you something. You will be satisfied. And you might not be doing it for that. But God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. We cannot be anything other than satisfied in this because we are made for God. We are made to live in relationship for him. We are made to live in the purpose. We spend the whole of our lives thinking, what on earth are we here for? We know. We know what we're here for. Live in it. Take hold of it. Imagine. what can happen. Not because of us, not because we're great, but I tell you something, we can be in Christ. Christ Jesus is great. He is wonderful, and his life flowing through each and every one, ministering to people, ministering to each other, ministering to others, bearing fruit. That's what you are here for. You don't need to ask any more questions in relation to that. That's what you are here for. Take hold of it.
Praise God.
I want to finish.